Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You've come to the show Edge of Truth. My name is Will Gable, along with Sharon, along with our lively guests here coming up here, Natalie Campos, Andrew Tritiak, and Tryson Graham. We're going to have a live spiritual self-inquiry conversation. So this is going to be very interesting for you people out there that's been following us all these years. Our guest call-in number 619-789-4304, 619-789-4304, and we also have the chat room open for you. Bring your ideas, questions, or opinions there about what's going on. So today we decided to just open it up here. Natalie and Andrew and Tryson were very enthusiastic about this endeavor. So we're going to open this up to some their questions and inquiries, because this is a show about self-inquiry, finding out about who you are, you know, what diversions you've gone down, what rabbit holes you've gone down to become more aware of yourself so that you can find your spiritual purpose here on earth and be free of a lot of the shackles that have potentially got most people bound down. So Sharon, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and welcome everybody to the Edge of Truth. We're just always delighted to be dangling our feet into those cool, refreshing waters that are the truth that is eternal. We're going to have this spirituality self-inquiry conversation from a self-gnosis perspective, because we've got the deep thinkers with us today and the people who have recognized on many levels that life is falling short and that traditional thought is not answering their self-inquiry questions appropriately. There's too much conflict. They just fall into dead waters. And they just don't rise to the level that nourishes and feeds their soul. So I'm going to put onto the line for a moment, Andrew, are you there, Andrew?
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to lay before our conversation here your first question?
Okay. My first question with self-inquiry is, where's a good place to begin? There's a lot of starting points that people say, you know, that no one seems to agree. And so where do you start?
From a self-gnosis perspective, I'd say with correct information that is correct with God, with the Creator, not necessarily correct with a dogma. Not necessarily correct with a well-accepted religion, and definitely not particularly correct. And I got quotes around that word correct when I'm saying dogma, other religions, and tradition, and the past information, and people's opinions. It absolutely has nothing to do with that. That correctness is all relative. It all depends. Do they really access this information from their inspirited self, which is connected with their eternal self, which is connected with a truth that never, ever changes? Truth is absolute. We hit the right truth. And by right, I mean correct truth with God the Creator. And that's one of the gifts, self-gnosis, as a project, as a paradigm, brings to humanity, because it's the books I've been starting to put out, one of them called Preface to Your Eternity, and the other one, Tangle with the Divine, which is its cliff notes, is written and organized with that truth that has been come by discovery of reconnecting with my higher self, and it all started 40, 50 years ago. Yeah, all right, I just gave my age away. When I had an after-death experience and actually was shifted in consciousness from being a person here in present time with all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues, all kinds of anger, pain, and sorrow. And in the death experience, I realized I wanted to go home. I wanted to be one with the Creator again. And I was really quite tired of the game of life. I saw it as mundane, boring, repetitive, and filled with nothing but strife. You got to pay bills. You got to, you know, you got people angry and upset. And, you know, life is just a series of difficulties and overcoming that we have made into a hero story. But the point is, we had to do that because otherwise it was disgusting and it was just going to take all of our joy out of life. So, where we would start would be always asking, where did this truth come from? Is it being resourced from information that's thousands of years old and has not been updated and brought into the modern time? Because when you read the self-gnosis books that are being published, they have, I call them the modern-day rival to the Bible, because they update information. They're not fighting with the past. They're pulling out the truth that's always been there, but it's become buried in all the different translations and all the different religions trying to make that truth their own. Is that helpful?
Yes. Yes, it does. Wow.
Wow. Okay. Wait. All righty. I think we have a new caller, and let me just see who our caller is and see if they have a question.
Hi.
Hello, caller.
Yeah. You hear me? You mean? Yeah.
Is this and is this Tryson?
Tryson.
Oh, good
yeah.
morning.
Hi.
Good Hi. Morning. Welcome to the show, Edge of Truth. Would you like
Thank
to
you.
Oh, it's wonderful that you're here today. Would you like to put a thoughtful question onto the table for us to look at from a self-gnosis perspective?
I was just looking at the self-gnosis meme. Was what I was looking at.
Okay.
Really saying you can consider such a plan to be your destiny. Fulfilling divine intervention.
Yes, the self-gnosis meme addresses the idea that what we are doing is no longer trying to get an answer from the world, but we want to connect with who we really are, our true eternal presence, that is our Christos spirit, that knows the truth. So we have to arch over all mind activity to connect with that part of ourself. And the meme that makes self-gnosis so amazing is it's not judgmental, which takes a big, whew, doesn't that give everybody a big, whew, right?
Yeah.
Because the core idea and the core reality of it rests with the idea that we are all Christos spirits. We are all a facet of the divine. So how could there be something wrong with us? The real issue is we are suffering from a long-term persistent case of consciousness amnesia where we don't remember. Well, that's something to heal, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's not judgment.
Yeah.
That's something to heal. And so we all need spirit rehab to get our memory and heal that amnesia so we're back in touch with who we are and then we know the truth. That's why it's gnosis. And gnosis is that very unique, special understanding that you resource and are connected to from your eternal self, which is your Christos spirit, outside of the game of life.
Well, nice.
Was that helpful?
Yeah,
I have a question.
It definitely is. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we have another hand going up. I hear that Andrew has another question. Go, Andrew.
So how what's the what if people are perhaps want more than, what if they're not okay with consciousness amnesia? What if there are people who might be in denial of that, or maybe even say from a more materialistic point of view, like, you can't really properly diagnose me with that, and how do you know that everybody has it? Is that more of like an argumentative question?
Well, that is a question that goes to the collective consciousness of humanity. And in truth, self-gnosis is not going to be well received because it represents a paradigm shift. And what we do is, what is a paradigm? A paradigm is a collective thought that explains things and gives us a new set of rails. Okay, so for example, I'm just going to go super simple. When the Wright brothers were saying, hey, we're making this thing that's going to be called an airplane, and it's going to go, and we can put human beings in the air and fly. Well, that was a new paradigm. That was so dramatically different that everybody looked at them like, you guys are nutballs. There's absolutely no way. You guys are nuts, right? Okay, but there was a percentage, a very small percentage of people who were intrigued, and something inside of them said, that is fascinating. And then they were asking them questions, and they were going, wow, could that really be? They had an open mind. They were willing to look at the possibility because it was exciting and enticing, even if it had a little bit of a scary edge to it. They didn't succumb to the fear, which would have been a mind, the ego mind, saying, do not go where you have never been before. And so that explains why there's always, when something is new and is breaking on the horizon as a new paradigm, it's presenting a massive challenge to the whole of humanity to say there's another way to think. And there's always the majority are going to say, screw you, you're dumb, there's something wrong with you, they'll attack you, they'll just run a gamut of stuff. But there will always be those pioneering spirits who are ready, who are saying, I knew there was more. I knew there was something wrong with that. And I've been seeking answers, and the questions are not getting answered, and I am tired of the big mystery answer. You're not allowed to know that. You know,
right. That's
not an answer. That's a trap. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, that answered my question for sure.
Cool. Natalie, do you have a question?
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm so honored to be here.
That's a pleasure, darling.
Okay, so some questions on spirituality. So, in modern culture, our society kind of, would you say, like, tends to look at the body, mind, and spirit as one condensed thing? And how does self-gnosis look at these things?
That's a wonderful question. Yes, people merge it all together as if the body, and they also, not only do they merge current thought, merge them together, current thought looks at the body physical, the whole biology organic aspect of ourself as the primary locus of control. Loci of control. Okay. It says that's what matters.
Wow.
Okay, the body and the brain are going to give us all our answers. And they're now going to brain research and all this other stuff and trying to get information off the brain. But what they're doing is, where is their focus? Where is their initial orientation, their starting point? It's the body. And then they're willing to look at the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep going body into mind.
Right.
And then looking at mind as consciousness itself. And they're defining that the brain will give us the answers for the mind and consciousness. They consider that computer, which we call our brain, the big kahuna. Okay? So they aren't looking at spirit coming into actuality. They are looking at concepts, because the mind is a concept thinking machine.
Okay.
And they get hung up on the concepts and the philosophy and what we've discovered already in psychology and in human anatomy. But we really, really, really see that the majority of the world really wants to hang all of their eggs in the basket of the body is who we are, the body-mind. And the spirit is kind of thrown in as some kind of woo-woo extra thing or something.
No, that's exactly how society looks at it, for sure.
Thank you for that. And I can tie that back for a quick moment to that meme you were looking at, Tryson.
Yeah.
Because what that's basically saying is that on that side, it's the organic base. When we're looking from a self-gnosis perspective, we're looking at consciousness as our base of operation. Huge difference.
Right.
Consciousness precedes the mind and the body. So as long as we're looking from body up, we're drilling and drilling and drilling through physical body, and we're drilling through all the different things we can find in the mind, and we may or may never get to consciousness that way. Self-gnosis changes it all. We're resurrecting our memory and our inspirited skills that have become dormant, and there's a way to connect with that part of ourself that it precedes the game entry. That is our real self that has eternity, and that's going home. And learning how to re-get those skills back online and active, and then, you know, practice with them to get your mastery back with those skills, which are really the truth of who you are. You will discover that the organic is the end line and not really you at all. It's just a vehicle. When you die, you're going to leave that vehicle and give it back to Mother Earth because it's organic. It's organic, so it's Mother Earth's. It's only yours for a time and a day, a given lifetime. Did that help?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
And so fulfilling your destiny would be going home. So. Yeah.
And so the other ways can never give us the effective solution. Because they're not acknowledging what we want to resurrect is outside of the mind and outside of the body physical that science and everything else wants to glom onto as the big kahuna, man. It is in the brain. I know it's in the brain.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
And so even the idea of heaven is
because where do you think your consciousness is? Your consciousness is in a mind that then signals and creates all that activity in the brain.
Wow.
So it's upside down.
Sharon, I have a question. How does that relate to the idea of heaven today? That even religion is promising heaven, maybe strictly in the mind, in the body, or spiritually, but kind of leaves the mind behind.
No, that's true. That's an excellent question, and it's a little difficult to answer without the master key, the compass, that shows us what true north is. And but without it, I'm going to try to do the best I can. Heaven is where you are one with the Creator. That is your true Christo spirit. And how I like to see our relationship is that the divine is imagining itself as a beautiful, magnificent, brilliant, gorgeous diamond, and imagines each facet of that diamond as a unique expression of the divine that will take and enter into the game of life and take on a mind and a body in order to play in its physical third dimensional world. That's the way to get on the game board as a human. So heaven is back to being a facet in the diamond outside of the mind. And it's a resonance. I call it holy resonance. That purity of the divine has a vibrational field that I'm going to call holy resonance, and it is magnificent, and it is without any fear. It is pure light and love. So any fear, any pain, any sorrow, any attachment to the body or the mind or the ego is a vibration that slows down that Christo spirit in the game and prevents you from going home, which is heaven. Because it vibrates life, and it's the love of life. You want to love your eternity and your presence, not love life.
Nice.
Does that answer the question, or does that leave a bigger question?
No. No, it does. It answers my question, no, specifically.
Cool. Does somebody else have a question burning on their heart? No, Natalie's going, I'm doing pretty good. Andrew, do you have another question?
I think I'm good for now.
Okay. Well, Tristan, you had mentioned you also had some questions about addiction earlier when we were doing
right.
a pre-talk going into the show.
Yeah.
Would you like to put one of those out?
So how do you apply, like, the consciousness down thinking from forward, for living, for coping with things you might just return to over and over?
So in other words, the idea of addiction being things you just keep returning to over and over again?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Well, the mind, we're talking about a function of the mind. The mind is easily, there's all kinds of things we can say about the mind. And actually, one of the big errors we make goes a little bit to the questions that are being asked here is, current consensus thought and tradition has come to a basic melting pot idea that spirit and mind are one and the same. Consciousness and mind are one and the same. Well, that is a fatal flaw, because consciousness is eternity in a mind which is a vehicle. Okay? I'll say that again, because that's a big thought that makes a lot of people go, wow, what did you just say, Sharon?
No.
Consciousness is eternal, and is you, is your Christos spirit, and it comes into a mind, and it's what turns on the mind and gives the mind its capacity to do things that the mind vehicle was designed to do. So it thinks, and it can take consciousness and feel in relationship to the physical body it's going to be going into, because it's all, you can't get into a body without the mind. And so what you got to do is take that magnificent resonance that you are as a Christos spirit and have vehicles that start stepping down and governing your energy to be lower and lower and lower, so it can get into the density of an organic body. Does that in itself make sense? Okay.
Yeah.
So the mind has qualities, and one of it is it is very narcissistic, and it has a fear base. Your consciousness is not narcissistic. It is a love of the oneness, and it is a love of the Creator, which is one, right? Which you are already recognizes and understands it is a facet of. It loves the diamond, loves every facet equally as well. And your presence, that Christos spirit, also is love-based. So it's a light and love energy field that is spirit intelligence. You know, God consciousness. Okay? And so when it enters into the mind wants to start conditioning it with its fear, wants to start conditioning it to shift its authority from consciousness, which is God, your Christos spirit, to the ego mind and things you can see in the world. Anything that's in the world of physical relating, the ego would rather that be your authority. Now that makes the ego feel a little better. So because the ego is fear-based, it's always in a way running from something. Right? That makes sense. So therefore, it gets addicted to objectifying an external focus, whether it's, you know, happiness or surviving or looking at itself and going, oh, my God, I've got to make myself look more beautiful. I'm ugly. Whatever. The addictions are all a function of a dysfunctional mind. Is that helpful?
Yeah, definitely is.
It's a big thought. It's a really big thought, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Do you have other questions on the addiction quality thing?
Um, No, I guess maybe how would you apply it on a positive note?
How would you apply
instead of for a recovery purposes? And I would also like want to apply self-hypnosis to improve my life also, I believe.
Okay. Well, self-hypnosis is first and foremost, we start with the idea that we've got to get correct information because we've been surrounded by so much distorted, skewed, and false information that we got to sort the tares from the wheat. Okay?
Yeah.
So we start with that so that we can get all the tares out of the way because they're very confusing. And every time we hang on to a tear and we're addicted to keeping a tear or a lie or a false concept alive because it felt good or because we built our personality around it or we built our world around it or it gave us strength at one point in time, if it's false, we still need to be able to have to look at that. We have to let it go because it's false. It's going to just screw us somewhere between here and there, right?
Yeah.
So self-hypnosis is about helping us get another viewpoint, whole paradigm. In other words, assemble a whole new type of puzzle so that we can see that we can shift over to this other puzzle once we see it, right? But it takes a little while to rebuild a new framework, just like it takes time to build a jigsaw puzzle. But once we can construct that picture, it's easier to say, I can let that lie go because it's not in this puzzle, and this puzzle is a much safer puzzle to work with. But we sometimes need something to let go of something that's wrong. We need what is correct, and we need to see how it replaces it, so that we don't have fear stopping us from making that transition. Cool idea, isn't that?
Yeah.
And that gives our audience a lot to chew on for weeks.
For sure. Definitely.
Okay. We have about 3 more minutes. Do we have any other questions that are burning on anybody's heart that's on their list to ask?
I have a question.
Okay, what is it, Andrew?
In the process of letting go the false information before we start, does that mean that you just do like a mind dump where you kind of take that drawer and dump it all out, or what are we doing to actually let that information let it go?
Well, I think it's a process, and trying to do it as one big dump will trigger a lot of fear. Okay.
Okay.
We really do need to transition from where we are to where we're going. It's like trying to get across the Grand Canyon. You want to walk across a bridge you've constructed. You don't want to try to jump and leap there. Okay. That's a more comfortable way to approach it. That's why I approach self-hypnosis the way I do. And so that's just an important thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. The other thing is we slowly, and that's why I suggest that people get the books, get Preface to Your Eternity, the other book, Tangle with the Divine, because you start reading and digesting and you can sleep on this information and you're slowly assembling this puzzle that allows you to say, I can make a much bigger move here. I'm headed for being able to change the paradigm by which I live. It's more empowering. It's not judgmental. And it's connected with truth that has been modernized with knowledge we now have. It's more centered on things Einstein brought to our attention about how we're an energy field. And that's why I use the word holy resonance, is who we are outside of the game of life. Okay. Natalie has a question. Now, we're going to start going into possibly, we're going to stop going off live, but everybody who's on the line will stay on. And what we can do is we have about 15 minutes grace that we can go in and still have the recording going and people can listen to it.
Awesome.
But I just wanted to say that because your question might take us into that. So be prepared, everybody. So.
Okay. Yeah.
We're ready.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt. Okay. So there are a ton of people that are searching for connection to their spirit self or their higher self that is universally large, and
yeah.
they kind of have this awareness that there is a sense of self, but they do so by trying psychedelics or other means of connection.
Mm.
How does self-gnosis compare to those things?
That's an excellent question. Again, a big question. I told you we had the
Sorry.
Deep.
We can talk about it.
As I mentioned to our listening audience, we had the deep thinkers here, and this is way cool because that question is very, very important. So psychedelics are something we consume organically, put into our body, and it shifts and alters the information coming from the brain down our spine and to our nervous system. And it causes the brain to actually start tapping into levels of the mind. But the mind and the brain are vehicles that are interconnected, intricately connected. And as that's happening, you start traveling through the mind and you can start getting to areas that are amazing. Now, some people will do this psychedelic and go into a horrible experience and never really become normal again. They kind of lose their sanity. Because they drop
mm-hmm.
into some of the darkness in their mind. Other people, for whatever reason, that will go through a psychedelic experience and see light shows and everything else, and they say, "My God, I saw God." And the joy and the happiness to see
right.
God will create maybe a little bit of healing, but it won't be permanent for the most part. They'll usually have to do a lot of things in daily life to hold on to that. And what will happen is, goes to Trison's question. Because it was so amazing, they're going to want to pursue that as the eternal truth, and they will become addicted to that, recreating those experiences.
And, right. So self-gnosis, why is it a better means of transportation to connecting?
Because it's direct to your higher self. You arch right over the mind. You don't even bother dealing with the mind.
Well, yeah.
You go back to your consciousness, and you come from the top, and start refilling the cup. You start cleaning out, because part of self-gnosis is your spirit rehab and renaissance. Once we get a nice puzzle built, you know what you're doing, you understand why you're doing it, you will commit to the process. Because like any rehab, you got to have a strong reason to stay with rehab.
Right.
And as the ego starts being healed of and relieved of its duty as your authority, it's a machine itself has its own way of bugging the shit out of you and raising shit levels so that you freak out. It's going to try to pull its fear up. It's just going to do it. Well, from a self-gnosis perspective, we already know it. That's why we call it self-gnosis, spirit, rehab, and renaissance, because we're going to rehab your amnesia. And as you And what's going to happen is your higher self is going to take a piece of your energy field in a process that's called an indiffusion and take the energy field piece by piece and keep flipping it back to divine awareness.
Wow.
And you start shifting the critical mass in your energy field.
That's amazing. So you would say divine awareness is really the tool here.
Oh, yeah, it's who you are. That's what you want to get back. That's what you forgot. You start thinking you're a human being who, you know, is organic. And then you got this other thing kind of pulling on you, and so we gave all kinds
That's
of crazy.
Keeping in touch with that thing.
Oh, my God.
That's divine awareness.
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay, perfect.
I call it being on comp. Learning how to have the dialogue and recognize the difference between the ego pretending it's your higher self and having a fake dialogue with you.
Right.
And having a dialogue with your higher self. That's why there's a lot of instruction.
Yeah.
I like to say self-gnosis is like, you decided I'm going to become an airplane pilot. You know right up front that ain't going to happen in a year. You also know you're not going to go and take a weekend course and come out as pilot. And if you did, I ain't getting in the plane with you.
No, yeah, you have to learn.
I didn't mean to do that.
Tools.
Okay,
awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you so much for answering my questions.
Oh, your questions were wonderful. I enjoyed answering them. Does anybody else have a question burning? We got a few more minutes in the record time.
Hmm.
I can hear and feel the energy turning. You guys are thinking and pondering. I love it. The home of needs to be. We need to ponder ideas that are connected with our presence. Will would like to weigh in.
I think along the lines of Natalie's inquiry, there was the psychedelic can induce an involuntary dump in relationship to Andrew's question of, do we just dump the whole thing?
Mm.
Well, in my experience with the self-inquiry is that it's a more meted, you know, structured process from your higher self instead of just, let's just take some psychedelics and just blow our circuits. Okay? So I thought I would throw that out there because I know that's kind of a burning question in a lot of spiritual seekers' minds that I've been around. So we don't want to just openly just blow everything out because, you know, what good is that going to do you? You're not going to be able to have any stability. There's no centering.
And then when you die, you're going to be facing the idea that that was just a mind dump and didn't have anything to do with your consciousness. And you're back for another lifetime.
So that's why you want to that's why you want to become more centered in your divine intelligence, like Natalie was alluding to there. And that is your home source. You're not really... Everything else can maybe help you psychophysically, you know, keep you healthy, which you should be anyway. You know, all that stuff is just kind of on the way. Sharon will talk about other things later on, like the Maslow pyramid and stuff like that.
But what Will was saying about home, that goes back to Trison's question about heaven. So the more we keep going in our rehab and we keep shifting with our higher self, the higher self will do all the shifting. Your ego cannot do it, okay? It would be a trip of folly trying to get the mind to do this. If we're doing this and we're working with our higher self, we are bringing, every time we shift our energy field, more God, our more divine presence will be sinking us. That means we're bringing more heaven to earth because home, presence, Christos spirit, eternal truth. It's all the same thing. They're just different words from a different angle of perception. But we're talking about the same thing. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
So great.
See, they were so awed. Wonderful. There was a moment of silence. The beautiful receptive silence of going, wow.
The overwhelming silence.
It's like,
so how can one kind of simply get in touch with self-gnosis without really even knowing anything about it? Like, what would be a daily practice?
I think the divine released this and said we need guide rails. It's just, we're just too lost. That it would be difficult without staying in touch with centered training.
Okay.
The books will give you a lot to think about that will start putting you on your own track. You'll read the book before you go to bed, and you'll take that truth into sleep with you, and you'll be activating your presence going, yes. But eventually, you don't want to be egotistical about it. Try to invent the wheel yourself. That's ego. It's already been put and given a form, and God christened it and called it self-gnosis.
So for listeners right now, what would you say that they could do to get in touch with
it? I'd say get the books. That's the smartest move you could do, so you could start getting some, start separating the tares from the wheat.
Right.
And you're going to have to read those books slowly, folks. They're deep reads. Yeah. You're going to have to read a paragraph and think about it. And go, okay, I get what that means. And wow, it's blowing all my circuits. I'm going to have to sleep on that.
And
or,
then I'm going to have to call in.
Yeah. And that makes you feel
yeah.
The other thing that you can do is you'll read and you'll say, okay, that makes sense. Then you read the next paragraph. But the way you read books like Self-Gnosis, because it's just pure raw information, building upon itself like building blocks to give you a foundation, it's designed for you to think paragraph by paragraph. I even give instructions on how to read the books in Preface to Your Eternity.
Oh, well, it's all there in the books.
It's a great start, but people need the dialogue. It really does help for us to have conversation, okay? Because
talk about these things.
That's right. That's right, and it makes it so much easier because when you have a question, that opens a void, and while you have a question, you need to write it down, but that void is a place that information can fall into, and we want to close them, and I even talk about that in the book. I even talk about that in the books. So the best way, Natalie, and I love your question, and I'm so glad you asked it for our listeners, is you really need to get the books. That will put everything together for you. At least it starts on a track. A track that the divine said these are God's terms, modernized, brought up to modern knowledge, and stripped of the woolly blankets that were conditioning that made us feel better.
Awesome.
And there's so much more. We're just touching the tip of an amazing iceberg here of truth. But we got to start somewhere. And we're starting now. Isn't it beautiful?
All right. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Oh, thank you, Natalie. Your questions were absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad you joined us. We shut off. We only got a few more minutes left. Only got 3 minutes. Andrew, do you have anything else you'd like to say or comment?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you for pointing out where I should begin, and I see pretty clearly it's not completely obliterating everything that you've believed in, but accepting that some of those things that were passed off as absolutes may not necessarily be absolutes, and so you have to go out on this venture, exploring new territory. But not in a kind of whimsical way where you turn your brain off.
That's exactly right. That. Or just don't believe everything. You just don't say,
or take actions to bring the immediate maybe comfort that you're seeking. It's a new, you know, when you start something, it has a beginning and a middle and end. So you're starting a new beginning. The tools that you have that are going to eventually undo some of the things that have been going on that we think are normal because of our conditioning.
That's exactly right. And so you want to take a process flow because we want it to be, we don't want to go into overwhelm because that would fall into the ego's idea of saying, down there, just drop it. Okay? We do want to take baby steps. Baby steps are cool. We want to sort the tares from the wheat slowly. We don't want to take a blowtorch to the entire crop, okay, because then we'll lose everything. That's too much.
Okay, we talked about this yesterday in Aikido and the techniques. Nobody gets it in a plug-and-play situation. Same thing with this.
Right.
You've got to gradually enter into this because you're letting go of a lot of stuff that you thought was who you were. Okay, so we've got about 30 seconds.
So we're going to say light and love to all of our listeners, to our wonderful host today. I want to thank Natalie, Andrew, and Tryson for your wonderful questions and how you're helping our listeners feel like this isn't just Sharon's thing. There are other people who are beginning to come in and beginning to say yes. What are you saying there, Natalie?
It's God's truth.
She's saying it's God's truth, and she's just doing a happy dance. And she's correct and right. Thank you so much. And, Will, do you want to say a final word, or is it time for us to...
Yes, we're glad to have all of you with us here on The Edge of Truth. We'll see you next week, same time, 11 o'clock Sunday, Central Standard Time.
Download the show, listen, get the books. These are things you can do.
Yeah, blogtalkradio.com/edgeoftruth.
And you can go to SharonQuinn.net and write me in the contact forms. The site is under construction. I've been saying that because it still is. There's so much to do. And so, and yet the pressure to talk with people who are around here and asking their questions takes a priority. But we're here for you. You just have to reach out and we'll reach back. You reach out, we reach back. It's self-initiatory process. You empower yourself. Till next week on The Edge of Truth.